Hey, you want that to go?
Hey, Todd Zwillick here with Celeste. I'm filling in for John Hockenberry, of course. It's time for some takeouts on the stories we're following. First up,
what looked like the building exploding from the inside in a huge ball of fire. A debris was flying through the air. I was literally just mortified as I'm driving. I'm just looking at this building exploding.
That's Armando Gonzalez, a furniture salesman who witnessed the plane crash. Fellow Texan Joseph Andrew Stack allegedly flew a small plane into a building where the IRS houses about 200 workers. Joining us now with more is Ian Crawford, news editor for public radio station KUT in Austin, Texas. Ian, what is the latest information we have from the crash site there in Austin?
The latest thing we have, Todd, is that the FBI and the Austin Fire Department confirmed late last night that two bodies were found in the what was left of the Echelon building in northwest Austin. No IDs on the bodies yet. There had been two people reported missing earlier in the day, one a federal employee, the other the pilot. People are extrapolating that one of the bodies found was the pilot, but again, nothing has been confirmed by local authorities yet.
And Ian Crawford from Takeaway member station KUT in Austin. What do we know about Joseph Andrew Stack and reports of an alleged confession, a screed on his website? I heard one quote that said, "Nothing changes unless there's a body count."
That's right. There was we printed out the note before the note was taken down off the website at apparently the request of the FBI. But one other quote that came from that, in fact, was in the opening line, was telling the IRS to take my pound of flesh and sleep well. It's a long rambling diatribe lambasting the government, admitting that he used several thousands of dollars in arrears in taxes to the IRS, and he signed the note Joe Stack, and then in parentheses the dates 1956 to 2010.
And already questions, of course, about whether or not this constitutes an act of terrorism. Ian Crawford from Takeaway member station KUT in Austin, thanks so much.
For our next take, we'll go back to Vancouver. Jason Stallman joins us again. He's the Olympics editor for our partner, the New York Times. Jason, what is going on this Friday? People say it's kind of a light Friday, but we're going to see a sport many people didn't even know existed. It's called skeleton. What is it?
Well, you know, every 2 years, the Olympics seems to offer an international audience some sports that you really don't pay attention to except for when the Olympics are on. And that's certainly what's happening now at the Whistler sliding track up at 2 hours away from Vancouver in the mountains. This is the facility that is home to bobsled, skeleton, and luge, the daredevil thrill-seeker sports where they fly down the mountain on an icy chute. And the reason it's so compelling right now is because, as everyone knows, a luge athlete from Georgia died last week on this track. So many athletes who compete here say it's too dangerous. The speeds they're attaining are just too high. So now the luge competition is over, and we turn to skeleton and bobsled. The first night of bobsled training, there were 8 crashes. Last night, there were at least 3 more. A Swiss rider and an Australian rider were hospitalized, and they were held out of practice yesterday. So, oddly, all eyes at the Whistler sliding track right now on bobsled and skeleton.
And is this a higher number of injuries than in normal Olympics?
You know, the officials are saying that at least for that first night of training on bobsled, that the 8 crashes was not out of the ordinary. We haven't been able to corroborate that, but one thing is for sure, that the speeds that they're attaining on this track are much higher than other tracks. It was expected, at least for luge, that the athletes would reach about 140, 145 kilometers an hour. They were about 10 to 15 over that, so they're going much faster here.
And so you have to wonder if they're going to have some kind of meeting of the minds later to discuss whether or not something is too fast when you're heading down an icy track in the Olympics.
That's the big question moving forward, and are they going to wait until after the Olympics to address this, or are they going to do something during? The luge competition, the course was changed. They made it shorter to diminish the speeds. Bobsled and skeleton officials so far have said they're not going to alter their course, so we'll see if the crashes continue.
Jason Stallman, Olympics editor for our partner, the New York Times. Thanks, Jason.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.